Hey, besties.
Hey, guys.
Did you miss us?
I know you did.
We are back with another episode of On the Come Up with Libby and Riley.
Yes.
I'm Riley.
I'm Libby.
And we're ready to chit-chat with you today. We do not have a guest today, but instead, Libby and I are going to do a segment called Keeping Up with the Come Up, where we go through and talk about some of the trends with Gen Z and with our society at large that we have noticed have been affecting our generation.
We got a lot to say, so you're stuck with us. Buckle in. Grab a snack. I don't know.
You might need a little sweet treat or two. Here we go. So first, you know, Libby and I, when we were brainstorming what we wanted to talk about for this episode, one of the big things that we have been discussing in our free time is cancel culture.
Yes.
Particularly, if you listened to one of our previous episodes, we started talking about the Brooke Schofield drama.
Yeah. So that was actually before all of her old stuff came out, like the day before, I think.
I actually am pretty sure we recorded that the day before. And, you know, at the time, we were excited for the representation of somebody standing up to an abusive relationship, and we thought it was really cool that she was using her platform in that way. And honestly, just the series was really entertaining.
Definitely.
But then, you know, of course, if you are not keeping up with that drama, a lot of things that she has said and done in the past resurfaced that were less than stellar. It was pretty disturbing to read some of her tweets. There was a lot of racism. There was a lot of bigotry in there. And so, you know, for us, that really sparked a larger conversation, not only about influencer cancel culture, but just about cancel culture at large and how it affects the industry.
Yeah, and there's a lot to unpack there. It's definitely something to be said when someone's a child or a teenager making those statements.
Right.
And, you know, giving people the room to grow and make changes. It's, you know, something that's a little bit nuanced.
Right. I mean, I always think about it like, you know, you can't necessarily hold somebody to their actions when they were a child and didn't quite know better. But there is a difference.
I do want to say, too, I was going to say, her situation, it's not so much a child.
This particularly is not about Brooke's situation.
Yeah.
But just at large.
It sparked that conversation, but we could unpack that forever.
But I mean, it's the conversation that we've been having not only about Brooke, but with the recent Cody Ko allegations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at what is appropriate for an influencer to do and say and what is not. And, you know, how are they using their platform for good or bad reasons? And then also the argument of who is getting canceled versus who is not.
Yeah.
First of all, who decides that? Because there are a lot of people
who
should be canceled. Yeah. Who are still very popular in mainstream media. And then there are a lot of people. I mean, my favorite example of this is Rachel Zegler, because Rachel Zegler was out of nowhere attempted to be canceled by fans just because of her interview regarding Snow White,
mm-hmm.
where she was kind of talking about, you know, they wanted to make a movie where it wasn't set in the oppressive 1930s situation where Snow White wasn't waiting for a man to come save her, etc.
Yeah.
And frankly, first of all, let's be real. You know she did not come up with all those talking points. Disney is absolutely feeding her talking points.
Yeah.
And apart from that, it is okay for her to want to share a story that is feminist at heart. And I can understand why, at the same time, people might be upset about the loss of integrity of the story of Snow White. But there's absolutely no reason to be up in arms about her saying these words.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are people like Cody or Brooke who are actually doing things that are negatively affecting not only the people around them, but their fan base and all of the people who are seeing their content, even if they're not fans.
Yeah.
And
there's so many people like that.
There's just
that
so
we
many.
Just forget. It's like, oh, it's fine when they do it because they're popular. It's like, even like Nicki Minaj, like I love her so much, but she's dating like a convicted sex offender. So it's like,
mad at Megan's Law, bae. I don't know what to tell you.
There's a little disclaimer on the end of her like thing when you buy concert tickets. That's like, you will be in the room with a sex offender.
In the vicinity with a sex
offender. They literally have to legally do that.
And it is, and that to me is just insane. But then at the same time, you know, I want to take it back to that conversation of, you can, if you do things that you're not proud of as a kid, you can come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially, let's take cancel culture and apply it to the average society. people like us or other people in society who are just normal, not influencers, not celebrities, they don't have eyes on them 100% of the time.
Right.
I cannot even imagine what it is like for some of these celebrities to not even be able to go buy themselves a coffee without being harassed by fans and paparazzi and all of this stuff. Having eyes on you at all times is always going to be a recipe for disaster.
Definitely.
The difference to me is you can make mistakes when you're young. And you can learn from them and you can grow from them and you can put in the work to be a better person.
You can make mistakes as an adult too, right. In my opinion.
Yeah, as an adult, if you put in the work.
Exactly.
You have to back it up with putting in the work. I'm sick of the notes app apology. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of the crying crocodile tears in TikTok videos.
Yeah, my life
wiping,
is over.
Yeah, wiping then, your tears with your sweatshirt sleeve like, bae, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
This is not the
next
way.
Next week you're in Bora Bora.
Right. Like literally, in the next post, they're in Bora Bora. It's crazy. And so to me, I think the conversation is, you know, as long as people are really putting in the work to change and make positive change and, you know, find ways to not only forgive themselves, but then provide an avenue for forgiveness for those that they've affected.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing.
For sure. Why, if we don't agree with what someone's saying, do we just like blow them up with harassment and give them more attention?
Right.
It's like, if we don't agree with them, we should just stop.
Even
like,
with
talking
Chris,
to them
even with Chris
with
Olsen
them.
Right now, Chris Olsen has been very vulnerable and outspoken on his social media about some of his experiences with abuse and sexual assault. And people want to just harass him. And it's like, why are you taking all this negative energy towards someone who is genuinely trying to share things on their platform that might be affecting other people? And they might not have the avenue to talk about it like he does. I think it's just time, like we said in our last Keeping Up With The Come Up, y'all need to touch grass and reconnect with the plot.
Touch grass.
And hey, pro tip, if you tweeted some really bad things, just delete them. Crazy concept. Yeah, there might be somebody
them,
who was a crazy
look at them,
fan.
Take a hard look in the mirror. Process that, do your inner work.
I mean, if you're proud of the bigotry, like that is something we need to unpack separately. And if you want to leave that, that's, you know, whatever. But at the same time, if you are trying to become a better person, maybe do a little digital footprint check.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's what makes it worse. It's like you have to have known that all of that stuff was out there, at least in a shred of your, in the back of your mind. And it's like the fact that you were comfortable just leaving that there, it says a lot too.
And so to me, as a quick wrap up to this conversation, I would like to point out the irony of someone like Brooke Schofield having a podcast called Canceled.
Right.
And then getting canceled.
And then only taking one episode off and then coming right back.
So anyway, do with that what you will, listeners. But as a pro tip for those of you listening who are not influencers, just try to do better. Just try to learn from the things that you have done. And instead of really honing in on this cancel culture, which has frankly become synonymous with harassment, really just try to do better and learn and grow and help to provide ways for other people around you to be able to forgive you for what you've done.
Definitely. And so, speaking of doing better.
Speaking of doing better, you know how when you guys listen to our podcast, Libby and I have all of these respectful and lovely and fun conversations?
Very demure.
Very cutesy. Very demure and very cutesy. Something we want to talk about today is how respect and decorum and diplomacy in conversations or discussions or arguments is completely lost on our society. And this isn't even a Gen Z conversation. This is like an ageless conversation, because I have noticed it in, you know, conversations with family members who don't agree with me on my politics, or conversations with friends who, even trivial matters like a TV show or an album, I will get into these long debates where I am just trying to state my opinion and have an open discussion. And in return, I'm getting named, called or harassed for my opinion, or even, you know, getting called crazy for thinking something different than someone else.
Yeah, it's just disrespectful. And I think that there's been this like previous thing of we can agree to disagree and still be friends. And that's great for the trivial matters like music, TV, that kind of thing.
Right.
But it's also the basic human rights issues. It's like, maybe we don't have to agree to disagree there.
Well, it's interesting because that rhetoric in trivial matters can be so helpful. But then in matters of human respect and rights and decency can be so harmful. Because frankly, if I am in disagreement with somebody based on, you know, a policy or something that is going to be put into effect in office or even a candidate.
Right. Or even outside of the political realm.
It is not up to me to kind of take on the task of, if somebody is trying to put a direct attack or support something that is putting a direct attack on my rights, it is not up to me to then forgive that person and become close with that person and have sit down conversations or friendship with that person. I don't think the onus should be on those people to do that. Mm-hmm. I think it should definitely be something where, you know what, if you disagree, okay, but you need to evaluate that and how that is going to affect your relationship moving forward. I have had so many conversations, even with family members, not just with friends or peers, where it gets so heated and so just disrespectful that I have had to legitimately say, okay, you know what? Like, you are entitled to your opinion. So is everybody else. When it comes to my rights, though, and the ways that my life will be directly affected, I am absolutely not going to sit here and have a discussion with you about this and try to act like I'm going to play nice. Because it's not even about playing nice at that point. It's just walk away.
It's going to turn into that name calling, the disrespectful, the point we were making at the beginning of this conversation. And it's just not even worth it, in my opinion.
You know, I had a family member. Listeners, you all probably have heard of Greta Thunberg, who has been very active in fighting against our global climate crisis right now. And she is, you know, trying to raise awareness and money and resources. And the work that she's been doing is just objectively incredible for our planet. I have had family members go online and legitimately post, like, name calling and bullying and all of this harmful.
Isn't she also a child?
That's the kicker, man. Not only are they attacking somebody for trying to do something to help the planet at large, they are also attacking somebody who is a minor. It's crazy. And especially when this happened, I'm not sure if she is yet 18, but, you know, when this happened.
I think she might be now, but.
When it happened, she was 16.
Yeah.
And it to me, is just so distasteful to see people unable to have any sort of productive conversation or difference of opinion without rapid firing. And I think this is another thing that you and I talk about a lot. Our generation especially, but even if we want to look at it, the older generation of Facebook users too, because we're active on Facebook, but at the same time, the older generation, I think, is more, that's their main form of social media. And so to me, I think we've gotten so used to hiding behind our screens and not seeing the direct consequences of our words and how they can affect people.
That's just it. I think that we're all moving like there's no consequence to how we're speaking to each other. And it's just breeding this really negative environment. And even if your goal was to change someone's mind and persuade them, screaming at them, name calling, being hateful is not going to be the way to do that, regardless of your stance or what the issue is.
I mean, clearly y'all were not on the debate team when you were in school, because if you were, you would learn how to argue with tact, because I am so sick of the lack of tact. Yeah. And we'll speak on it again and again. And we did. So here's another point of harmful rhetoric that Libby and I have also been recently discussing. And this is
a big one for me.
It's a big one. And I mean, you know, we want to start by more focusing it on our generation. But ultimately, it becomes a larger conversation about all generations. The rhetoric of Gen Z being lazy or not working hard or, you know, thinking that we need things handed to us. Mm-hmm. I'll tell a personal story. My parents are so supportive, and they think more than anybody else that I work so hard. They know, and they commend me for it.
And you do.
And they're, okay, thanks, queen. You too. They're very, very, very kind to me about it. I have even had conversations with them before where I will explain, you know, low pay at certain jobs or, you know, mistreatment from bosses or things like that that I have experienced over my time of working in both freelance and full-time positions. And even my parents will just kind of chalk it up to that's the nature of the 20s. That's the nature of you got to put in the hustle, you got to put in the work. And I just genuinely think that the difference is our generation is not wanting to put in that work or that hustle. It's that we are finally standing up to toxic workplace culture.
Right.
And saying that this is not okay. The treatment is not okay. Not paying me what I'm worth is not okay. And we want to foster companies and cultures that are positive rather than, you know, you got to be beaten down and then pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of thing.
No, definitely. And I think, okay, if that's what you went through in your 20s, that I acknowledge that, I see that, but it doesn't mean that it has to be that way for us. And if you believe that we should be having better conditions, working conditions, then why would you want to encourage us to go through the same thing? The whole idea of like paying your dues, I get that.
Yeah.
None of us are saying that we don't want to work hard.
Right.
It's just that we want to do it in a fair way, where we're being treated fairly.
Absolutely. I don't think working hard should be synonymous with receiving less than fair treatment or borderline abuse from coworkers, bosses, corporate companies, like anything like that. Like, I think we really need to get back to the idea of understanding that, like, yeah, also these generations were working in a time where there were less rights for less people.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're in a space where we are closer and closer every day to achieving equal rights,
yeah,
we need to then also champion the fact that the workplace culture is changing with that. It's not just now women can vote and now women have less of a pay gap or whatever. It's now that, you know, not only that, but my boss might not be calling me honey or doing any of the little microaggressive things, but the boss might also be saying something really horrible to you or sending you repeated emails or acting on microaggressive behavior. And you, as an employee, are allowed to stand up for yourself and say, this is not fair. I deserve better. And you either address that with your boss or you leave.
Yeah. And circling back a little bit to women specifically, I want to share a story. One of my good friends, she's studying chemistry at BGSU, actually.
Yes, smarty pants.
And I was, you know, talking to her about her classes. She was saying how it felt a little isolating. There's not many women in her major and specifically women professors. And then I touched in again a different semester and she was like, I'm so excited. I have a woman professor.
Awesome.
I was like, that's great. I checked back in and I was like, how's it going? Like, that's probably really great. And she was like, no. She was like, because she had to work so hard to stand out when she was going through school, she's applying even more pressure to me to work harder than the boys. And that's just how it is and this and that. And that to me is so disheartening because it's you did the work. Like, she, her professor, she did the work. She overcame those odds. And now to put that back onto another student, it just doesn't feel fair.
And that's what I will never understand is what is the point of fighting for your right to be in a particular space or have a particular career or do anything if you're not going to then help pave the way for others?
Right.
What is the point?
Like, why what a would beautiful you... opportunity right. she could have had.
Of mentorship and kindness. Like, why would you want to take that situation and then just copy paste onto somebody else if you personally already know how hard that is?
Right.
That's what's baffling to me. A couple other things on this topic that are really important to talk about is, first of all, we were just talking about this with our producer before we started doing this episode. COVID has been a big factor in this lazy rhetoric. And that's not only with Gen Z. I mean, there's all the jokes about all the kids who are in college during COVID doing Zoom school. And it's like, okay, like, is my doctor in 10 years going to like know how to do a double bypass if they were falling asleep during their classes?
Which is a little true. Like, I was in bed in my PJs, but.
Yeah, of course. But I think ultimately, like, if you are a student, COVID or not, you're going to take out of your classes what you want to take out of them.
And honestly,
I mean, you can zone out, not pay attention, and be sitting in the darn room with your professor talking right at you.
Exactly.
And to me, it's no different. I think using COVID as an excuse for why our generation is lazy rhetoric in and of itself. So eat that. I don't know. But the other thing is, that doesn't just apply to our generation. I think a lot of people were so shell-shocked during COVID that it kind of then made things so much more adaptable, especially in the workplace, that now people are not willing to kind of then backtrack and say, okay, you know, there are some tools we have to make things more accessible and easier for us to get our work done. But it's also about, like, yes, the work smarter, not harder rhetoric, of course. But then it's also about, you know, you actually need to then still do the hard work to get the jobs done. And you need to get back out there. And it's like, if you're working from home or you're working in the office, that to me doesn't really matter as long as you're working to get your things done.
And especially, there's so much pressure to do as much as you can, the best as you can, as fast as you can.
Right.
In any job.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there is a helpful tool that is able to help you accomplish that, of course we're gonna push to use it or push to create more tools, better tools,
right,
to help us accomplish that. So I don't think the use of AI or ChatGPT, whatever you're using,
right,
is necessarily a bad thing.
Absolutely. I think if you're using it constructively and also
that
somewhat,
part is so important.
Right, constructively and somewhat sparingly. I mean, you're not dumb. You know the difference between cheating and using a tool to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will be totally honest. Like, I know for a fact using ChatGPT to write an article for the city paper would be cheating.
Yeah.
That would be direct plagiarism from an AI tool. What I would use ChatGPT for and what I have used ChatGPT for is headline generation for a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe ChatGPT will help you come up with something fun and alliterative that can summarize your story.
Or maybe it gets you like 90% there and then you do the finishing touch.
Right, and that's what I
found. Or it sparks something completely different.
Exactly.
That wasn't what it gave you. But it just helps get those idea generation turning.
Yes.
And I think if you're using it in that way, it's way different than like, write this paper for me, submit.
And that's essentially what we've been doing with our use of ChatGPT, is using it for more idea generation and like a supplemental help,
mm-hmm,
rather than relying on it fully. And I think
because
that,
I mean,
is
it
the
goes
difference.
Back to the thing, like, as much as you can, as fast as you can, that is just going to create burnout.
Mm-hmm.
When you're so burnt out and there's such a heavy pressure to be as creative as you can,
right,
and the quality of work you're turning out is always, you know, the best it can be, you're gonna have that burnout. You're not gonna be able to reach into your brain and find the most creative solution 10 times a day.
Right.
Like,
I mean, we've talked about this. Working in a creative environment is incredibly exhausting. I won't sit here and try to compare it to the people who are the backbone of our society doing hard work and physical labor outside every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a completely different beast to me. But it is also exhausting separately to be in a creative field where you are constantly churning in your mind, the gears are always going, you're trying to figure out the next thing, you're staying on top of trends, you're doing all these different, mm-hmm, things for your company. It's really difficult.
Yeah, it's always at least 10 things at once.
Right. And I mean, the other factor to this, other than COVID, to me, is the conversation surrounding education is a discriminatory factor for some jobs.
Yeah, let's talk about it. And also with, you know, everything with burnout, as we're talking, that is really only amplified with the mental health issues.
Right.
I know we've talked about this before, and we've talked about mental health a lot on this podcast in our last Keeping Up episode, if you want to go back.
Shameless little plug.
But I know, especially, like, we both have ADHD. We talk, mm-hmm, about this a lot, and the way that burnout affects us differently, like, than other people. It's like, maybe we're burning out once a day, and then coming back the next day where everyone else is burning out, you know,
once a week,
once a month, like,
yeah,
whatever it is. And it's, we have to constantly, you know, navigate that as well. And I know that's a lot of other people in our generation and in older generations.
For sure.
And especially anxiety added on to that,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, the imposter syndrome of like, my work isn't even good enough.
Right. It's depression.
Just, yeah. All of it.
Dealing,
I mean,
with all of it.
I have a whole slew of mental illnesses.
We're like, let's have a separate podcast where we just talk about the mental illness, actually. No, but you're right. I mean, it is so different. And I think especially for people who are in the influence position of like an employer,
mm-hmm,
I think it is so key to understand and learn how to navigate that within your employees. I was talking to a peer who works at a company where if you feel particularly burnt out, they don't have a limit on vacation days or on sick days.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a mental health day, you take the mental health day.
That's
you
so
take
beautiful.
Your time and you come back.
Because
and
you're
you
going to do better
found?
Work.
Right. And that's what's crazy is, you know, you might think, oh, okay, well, people will just abuse it and take every day off, whatever. That company in particular has found that they have less outages for employees than any other company.
Yeah, I bet their
really
turnover,
like,
rate is amazing. Like, so low.
They have, I mean, they keep employees, they invest in their employees, but then they also, I mean, no one abuses it.
Wow, everyone, being cared about in the workplace.
Crazy concept. No, everybody takes, you know, what they need, takes the time that they need, you know, for not only themselves, but also if you have a family, you have to deal mm-hmm. with your family mental illness or your family mental health at yeah. large. And that's huge. So I think it's really key to start factoring that in and understanding that it's not always just somebody being lazy, but it's just, you know.
I actually, yeah, I'm going to speak on this because I actually don't think that laziness is kind of real.
You're like, actually no one's lazy.
I feel like almost all the time it's just an underlying mental health issue and they just don't have the tools to right. treat it.
And we're lucky to be growing up in an age where mental health is so at the forefront. Mm-hmm. And I hope it only continues and yeah. people only keep talking about
it. No, definitely. I will scream about mental illness from the rooftops because even if it helps one person to know they're not feeling alone and right. like, I did my job.
And I can assure you all that we will be talking about mental health more in the coming episodes. But I do also want to mention in this conversation of, you know, the lazy or not question, I think education being used as a discriminatory factor is a big key here.
Yeah.
To me, I will always pretty much tell you that I learned more from my hands-on experience with my internships and my mm-hmm. college publications than I did in most of my classes. Yeah. I will always shout out a couple of my professors because there were a couple key classes I took that genuinely impacted me. But I will also say people do not value enough what hands-on experience can bring to a company or a job.
Mm-hmm.
It is so exhausting to me. I mean, we talked about this with our guest, Alex Huffaker. He does not have a degree, mm-hmm. but he is moving up in the company at Tarta, and he's working really hard, and he's proving day in, day out that his experience can be valuable to this company.
Yeah.
And his relationships that he's forming and the recommendations that he can get from them, that can be valuable.
Definitely.
To me,
it's almost more valuable. I mean, right. I'm thinking back, you know, years and years ago when, education, it was a privilege to have that bachelor's degree. It still is. But it was an added bonus. You're going to stand out. And now it's almost like you need it. But right. it's like you really don't.
Well, and even now, I mean, it keeps graduating. Like the goalpost is always moving,
exactly.
which is so unfortunate. It goes from, you know, you need a bachelor's degree. Now you need a master's.
Right. It's like, what? Am I going to have my PhD to work at an entry level marketing
exactly.
job or
and
something?
Then, and then
like,
that's the problem, too, is ultimately at its core, education as a discriminatory factor is more so a conversation regarding finances.
I was going to say the socioeconomics of it all. It's
yeah.
just, can you afford to get into school?
Right.
Do you have the resources? And honestly, think about, you know, first generation college students.
Yeah.
That's has to be such a
that was my mom.
Difficult process to navigate completely on your own without
exactly.
the help. And where do you go and what resources do you turn to?
Right.
And even for me, I think like I stopped after my bachelor's degree. Both of my parents have bachelor's degrees, but I'm hesitant to go into my master's degree. And I feel like that is a lot in part because my parents haven't done it. And
yeah.
I don't know how to ask them for help.
Right.
And I have just notice that of myself, that it's like an underlying factor.
It's so hard when you don't have people so close to you with the direct resources to help
mm-hmm.
you. And I mean, my mom, like I said, she was a first gen college student and she worked really hard and she put herself through school mostly. My grandma
yeah.
was able to help a little because of her job. But that's the thing that I want to talk about is my grandma. My grandma was taking care of my mom and her brother, and she was working at different jobs to help put my grandpa through school so that he could get a degree and he could get a job while they were married.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was my grandma and my grandpa got divorced. And then my grandma entered into the work field. She had some experience. She was able to work at a company for, you know, 30 plus years in their HR department. And she was basically running the show in their HR department.
Yeah, after 30
until
years.
Until one day they come to her and they say, you know, we're laying you off because we are going to essentially hire somebody to do the job for less money than we're paying you, which that's an unfortunate reality that we could have a whole separate episode about.
Right.
But what I want to say then is what's been crazy for her is she cannot get another job. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that she has 30 years of experience right. at
it's
this
like
company.
It's like she knows that inside and out, exactly. back of her hand, like,
because she
go.
Does not have a degree, yeah. she cannot get hired. And that, to me, ultimately is there is somebody who is working so hard and who does so much good, and she is being discriminated against because of the educational component. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so key to talk about in the conversation of working hard versus laziness.
Yeah.
We want to keep it moving, too. We talked a little bit about trends in our last segment with the rhetoric of our generation. But I think we really want to hone in on some of the meta trends, some trends dying before they're even trends.
Yeah, I find this so interesting. Recently with the air quotes Chase Bank glitch.
Yeah, if y'all are not up on the Chase Bank
check
glitch.
Fraud.
It's literal check fraud, although everyone wants to call it a glitch.
Yeah. So, you know, people going to the ATM, writing themselves a check for money they don't have, and then actually getting that cash from the ATM. But I found it really interesting the way that it was being reported on and talked about in media, on TikTok, on mainstream news. Was like everyone was doing it. Everyone right. ever was doing this Chase Bank glitch. And it's like, how many people actually did it? And I did look it up to try and find, and there's no real number, but I just know it was not as many as people made it out to be.
Right.
And I think that happens a lot. It reminds me of a couple years ago when everyone was like, the Gen Z, they're crazy. They're eating Tide Pods. No one was doing that.
No one was eating Tide Pods. That more than anything was just a bit to make fun of the idea that we were eating Tide
right.
Pods.
And it just spun out of control. And now it's like mainstream media is reporting on Tide Pods.
Right. It's like, who's going to lie? Like, yeah, Tide Pods look interesting to eat, but I'm not going to
yeah.
eat them.
But
like,
I won't.
But I won't.
I might
they're
want
basically
to-
just like the laundry version of Gushers, okay? Like, I understand why people were making fun of it. But it's like, yeah, the idea that we all were doing that is a little bit insane.
Right. And that happens a lot. I think, like, just this recent summer on TikTok, I kept seeing the, it's tankini summer. You have to go get a tankini.
Right.
And that was, like, before summer, like, springtime. But by this time summer actually came, no one was wearing a tankini.
And I mean,
the trend had died before it even actually happened
exactly.
in the real life.
And that is the point. That hits the nail right on the head, is that it doesn't matter if it's fashion, if it's television, if it's a dance trend. It could be literally anything on social media. It dies before it
even
really
like,
takes
translates
off.
To like, real life.
We
like,
have
where
become,
are we living?
I mean, it's literally like we have become such a society for like no patience, no attention span. And we're sitting there and we're creating these trends thinking, oh, they're going to be so fun. They're going to take off. They're going to make an impact. And sure, some do. Like, we can't discredit the ones that do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there are so many that you pour time and resources into or you see for 2 seconds and then it's like, okay, nothing comes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, what is the point? Who is that benefiting? It's not benefiting anybody. And then you end up wasting your money on a tankini that you don't even wear
right.
to the pool.
And then the anxiety of like, oh, I only have bikinis for summer. And then
right.
it's like your own mental health is decreasing because you're trying to fit into some box
yeah.
that isn't even real.
I cannot tell you how many high-waisted bathing suits I bought because I was like, oh, like everyone's wearing high-waisted bathing suits. I'm going to buy these. Da, da, da. I do not wear a single one of them anymore.
Yeah.
They sit and collect dust in my
right.
closet.
And we've talked about fast fashion before.
Right. I mean, that in and of itself is kind of a model for trends these days
mm-hmm.
online.
But like, I mean, I think it goes beyond fashion, too.
It does. But it's the model of, you know, the fast fashion is basically about creating as many new trends and new products with little quality
right.
because it's about the quantity and the quickness
yep.
rather than the
have
quality.
To have it,
and it's the same
cool.
thing. Like people, I mean, even with something as trivial as the dance trends, right? You know, people will create a dance because they just, a new song comes out and they want to get on top of it before anything else, but they won't put the time and effort into actually creating a dance that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like hitting these
the
really cringy
moves.
And uncomfortable recycled yeah. moves from TikTok. Like, it's just kind of weird. It's crazy to watch it play out in front of you. And I mean, even you and I run our TikTok page at our job, and going through and trying to pick out what trends we think are going to be relevant for the whole week.
Right,
we almost don't even
change.
Know if we can schedule something for Friday on a Monday because it might change by then.
Yeah, or there'll be something new. It's always like,
always.
We got to keep up with it. And we're busy girls.
And I mean, The thing too, then, that's a great segue into talking about businesses as it pertains to trends. For us, like, we try to hop on as many trends to promote our business as possible, but it's crazy what takes off versus what doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a Renaissance Fair TikTok that really took off. It got over 10,000 views and, you know, hundreds of likes and all of this stuff, and that was great. We spent approximately like 30 seconds putting it right together. And then, you know, a TikTok that we make where we're promoting, like, you know, small businesses in the area or things like that, that gets maybe like 10 likes and right like 500 views or something, if we're lucky. Yeah.
You can just never predict.
I mean, we literally made a TikTok about pooping on the company dime, and that is our most viral TikTok to date, with more than 5,500 likes and more than 38,000 views.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of crazy the things that take off versus the things that don't. And it makes me wonder how our generation is really intaking information.
I was gonna say, the effort does not equal the output, right, in terms of TikTok especially.
Yeah.
But probably a lot of other
and it's
avenues.
Sad because that app could be used for so much more good than it is. And so that's kind of what frustrates me.
There is definitely some good.
There
I
is
like to always highlight the good in social media, because it there is good, but there is also just so much garbage.
I mean, yeah,
garbage.
To be fair, a lot of the videos we've made about small businesses have, in a way, helped increase. I mean, they might not get an international or a national viewership on our page, but people who are here in Toledo, they're looking at this, they're seeing this, and they're finding new places to go. Even we do a weekly event roundup, and even that always takes off. We always get a lot of views on that, and I've had friends of ours come up to us and say, you know, we really love that you make this because it tells us what we should be doing
right
in the area. Like, we
but
don't
it's
always
not
know.
Always doing numbers.
Right. Like, but it's not always doing numbers, but it's still making an impact.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to weigh what makes an impact versus what doesn't.
And just keep going.
And
if you're doing social media.
Yeah, just
and
keep
you're
going.
Trying to spread your message and something that you believe is good, just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to keep going. And I don't want to harp on the negativity, obviously. I think there's a lot of good that comes from social media. But I do, really quick, before we get to the end of our show, want to talk about buzzwords and the overuse of buzzwords and the misuse of buzzwords.
It's worse
than
ever.
And I'm not talking like skibbity toilet, although if you're saying that, please just reevaluate your decisions. Like, I don't know. Like, it's you. There are so many words in the dictionary. Look one of them up.
Right.
I don't know.
Gen
like,
Alpha,
say,
we're talking to you.
Yeah. Gen Alpha, as we did in our last Keeping Up With The Come Up, here is another pro tip. Anyway, the one that I've seen the most is media literacy.
Mm-hmm.
People will use media literacy all the time on TikTok and be like, oh, like, you just have no media literacy if you didn't understand da-da-da. Hey, that's not what media literacy means. Like, I don't know. Maybe, like, actually Google a word before you put it in your video.
Yeah.
And I think that's
anything.
It's just anything.
Anything that's
going
to attract attention in that way.
Right.
It's like, let's throw it
right
there and hope it sticks.
And I mean, we've seen it on social media. We've seen it in real life with our peers and with people that we speak to. We've seen it in presidential debates. How many buzzwords can we string together in a sentence to kind of gain the attention of our audience?
Yeah.
And at a certain point, it becomes so oversaturated that nothing means anything anymore.
Yeah. It's like, what does this word even mean at its core? Like, I don't know anymore.
And pushing up my fictional glasses and pointing my finger, I have to say, as a journalist, it really bothers me when people mince their words, because don't do that. Like, literally just say the things that you mean. And when I use the word literally there, I mean literally just say what you mean, and don't try and hide it behind things that you think make you smarter.
The jargon.
When you don't know the jargon and how it applies to the situation. And so that's that. We want to wrap up our section of our discussion today. Of course, don't worry. We still have a Roman Empire coming up.
Yes, don't go away.
But we want to have one more quick little segment that we're calling our personal thought of the week, which is, we've been discussing this in terms of our personalities and the people around us, but we want to talk about how people who are nice are not stupid.
Yeah. Say that again.
If you didn't hear me. people who are nice are not stupid. I notice this a lot with my mom. My mom is one of the kindest souls alive. She's so electric. She's so outgoing. And I think a lot of the time, people confuse that type of personality. You know, I mean, they are known as golden retriever type personalities. And I think people kind of confuse that for naivete or stupidity.
Yeah.
And I think you really cannot, I mean, we always say don't judge a book by its cover. But when it comes to that, like, there are people who are so smart and who are so strong and who know how to use their strengths for good. Mm-hmm. And for my mom, one of her strengths is being kind and genuinely taking an interest in people and wanting to know more about people.
Yeah. Kindness does not equal your intelligence.
Not at all.
And everyone should be more kind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think making sure that you don't underestimate people for the things that they might present. You know, if you're a zodiac lover, we have three main signs that we focus on: your sun sign, your moon sign, and your rising. And your rising is how people interpret you upon first meeting and just kind of like what you give off on the surface level. Mm-hmm. And so you cannot judge somebody's sun and moon based on their rising. You cannot.
Oh, I love that analogy.
Thanks. All my little astrology babes are going to love that one. But you, it's the same principle. Like, you cannot judge somebody's inner soul or who they are as a person based
on brain.
Or their brain. Speak on that. You cannot judge their brain and who they are inside based on what they might present. And I mean, that goes the other way. Somebody might come off as really smart, but in actuality is faking it till they make it and have actually no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, smart, I think media has played a big part in that, but smart does not always mean serious.
Mm-hmm.
And dumb does not always mean positive and happy. There are a lot of people who are dumb who are really mean and not very nice or outgoing at all. And there are a lot of people who are smart who are really nice and outgoing. And so I just think that you cannot underestimate people or chalk them up to a certain stereotype.
Yeah, or your first impression.
Right.
It's hard out here.
It's hard out here. And we're just girls trying to make it through.
Yeah.
And of course, we want to end our episode on our positive note with our Roman empires.
Yes.
Mine is, I want to talk about teachers. We've had teachers on the podcast before, you know, music teachers. We had a math teacher. I think something that I really want to just say, first of all, is thank you.
Yeah, you're our superheroes.
You're our superheroes. You are so important and so key to raising the next generation of people into our society to do some good.
You did not get what you deserve.
Yeah, that could be my full Roman Empire, but but really what I want to get into is thank you again for being strong and doing the job, because I just started choreographing for a high school show choir, which requires me going in once a week and teaching choreography at 8 a.m. to which I looked at the choir director and I said, I don't know why you decided to become a teacher, because I would rather do anything else than be bullied by some high schoolers at 8 a.m. I don't know. Like, I mean, teachers are just subjected to being roasted at any turn. Like, if you're teaching the little kids, cute, whatever, okay. But, like, middle school and high school, y'all have a different strength than anything I've ever known.
Right. Because that is crazy. They think you know everything. Like, you have to have, know everything when you're in high school. And you did not.
You have to have the highest self-esteem to be a teacher. So not only are you strong and smart, but you also have great self-esteem. Proud of you guys. This is just my general PSA. Thank you to teachers. And this will be my Roman Empire for the remainder of the school year while I avoid being roasted by high schoolers at 8 a.m. myself.
You're doing great.
Thanks, Queen.
It is funny, like, we're the youngest in our professional spaces, but now you're, like, a dinosaur to them.
I know. I'm like, you all think I'm so old. I'm like, joke's on you. I'm like, I know what it means when you say skibbity toilet. Anyway, that's Libby, so over to you.
Okay, I want to talk about bubblegum pop and women right now in music and how fun it is to be a girl.
So true. Being a girly girl is back, baby.
Yeah, pop is back and better than ever. I think it's great. I think for me personally, I really suppressed that interest for myself in the past, we'll say, decade.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was something I was like, push away. I'm not that. I'm too cool for that. I don't want pop. But now it's so great.
And what is that? internalized sexism because we don't want the girly girls to win. But guess what? We do. Right. We want every person, no matter what type of music they make, to be winning.
Definitely. And I think Chapel Roan specifically, we've been talking about her for a long time on this podcast.
Chapel Roan mention.
But it's great. And I think it's really shaping the next generation of music enjoyers and pop enjoyers.
Absolutely.
And I feel like it's never been a better time to just be a girly girl and have fun. And it's such a great part of my life that I've been loving bringing back and embracing.
Absolutely. I love it too.
Everyone should.
Yeah.
Boys, you too.
As we always say to our executive producer, Chris, it's Brat summer. I'm holding on to Brat summer through the rest of the year. Brat fall, Brat winter, Brat spring, baby. It's all year round. Right. And you know what? We want to thank you so much for listening to our thoughts and for our rambles.
Yeah, right. Who gave these two girls a mic?
I know. Chris, take the mic away. Take the mic away. But no, we seriously want to thank you. We hope you consider some of the points that we made, and we hope it sparks some productive discussions between you and your loved ones that are respectful discussions. Thank you again so much for listening to our show and keeping up with the come up. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the lovely Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.